So good morning, dear speakers, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen. It is a pleasure to welcome you at our panel discussion called Beyond Huawei, Europe's Adopts of PRC Technology and Its Implications. Today's debate is organized by Project Synopsis, AKA Media, and Czech Academy of Science. Before we are going to start, let me introduce our speakers that are going to be part of our morning panel. First, I would like to introduce Mrs. Didi Kirsten-Tatlow, Senior Fellow from Deutsche Gesellschaft für Auswärtige Politik. Welcome, Didi. Pleasure having you here. I would like to also introduce Dr. Ondřej Klimeš from Oriental Institute of the Czech Academy of Science. Ondřej, pleasure having you here as well. Filip Jiroš from Project Synopsis. And Martin Hala, Director of Project Synopsis and Charles University. And let me also introduce myself. My name is Kateřina Procházková. I'm a journalist, and I have been also working for Project Synopsis. Now I would like to give the floor to Martin Hala, who is going to say a few opening remarks. Martin, the floor is yours, please.
Thank you, Katka. Good morning, everybody. I have the pleasure of welcoming you at this conference called Beyond Huawei, Europe's Adaptation of PRC Technology and Its Implications. First of all, let me thank all the people who made this event possible. So we are very grateful to the Academy of Sciences for providing this cozy conference space. Thanks to all of my colleagues who were quite busy preparing this this conference in the last few weeks. Thanks to all the speakers, some of whom have traveled from distant places, and of course also thanks to the audience for showing up in relatively decent numbers, because what would a conference be without the audience, right? So what do we talk about when we talk about Chinese technology adoption in Europe or anywhere else for that matter? I think we're basically talking about two things, and these two things are often talked about in a disconnected way, which I think is one of the reasons why the discussion so far has been rather convoluted. So the first line of argument when we talk about Chinese tech is basically purely technical. So people look at the Chinese companies from the point of view of technology. They pretty much consider them to be technological companies like any other, and any potential problems are seen in terms of algorithms, potential malware or backdoors and things like that. And so in this line of argument, the problems are essentially manageable, could be mitigated by technical means, that is by due diligence, technical checks, things like that. Recently there was a very nice expression of this line of thinking at the Munich Security Conference, where the German economy minister Peter Altmaier said, commenting on the Huawei discussion in Europe, quote, "What if somebody says German cars or French wine cannot be trusted," unquote, essentially equating companies like Huawei to German cars and French wine. I would argue that Chinese technological companies are quite different from German cars and certainly from French wine. That's one of the reasons why we are all here. And this leads us to the second line of argument, which goes beyond strictly technical point of view and looks more at the background of these companies and the environment in which they operate, namely the legal and political environment from which these companies are coming. Essentially, this is the argument that was formulated probably most openly at the Prague 5G summit earlier this year in the in the outcome of that summit, the Prague proposals. And it essentially looks at the problem from the point of view of trust. So the core of the argument seems to me to be that technology is always risky. We're entrusting our lives to technology. And of course, we're vulnerable with all technological companies to whom we are entrusting our data. So the matter of trust is crucial here. So who are the companies, or what are the companies that you could possibly entrust such an important part of your life to? And that is an issue that we would discuss in some detail today. Now, why should this be a problem? Why should we have less trust in, let's say, Huawei or Hikvision or any such companies than to, let's say, some other Western technological companies? I think we only have to look at how technology is being employed in the People's Republic of China for social control. We only have to look at the situation in Xinjiang, and we will have a contribution this morning about the abuse of technology for social surveillance and indeed outright repression in the Xinjiang region of the People's Republic of China. Or we only have to look at the social credit score, or rather the project of the social credit score that is supposed to come into operation officially next year. These are rather disturbing issues, which we should probably take into consideration when we're thinking about the very same technologies in Europe. And I haven't even touched yet the Chinese legislation, namely the cybersecurity law, the national law, the state security law, and other relevant legislation. Now, maybe one last point. I think the social credit score, the situation in Xinjiang, disturbing as they are really just the tip of the iceberg. Because if you look at the Chinese Communist Party policy documents, you would see that the implementation of technology for social management, as it is known in China, or social control, as we would call it here, is essential to General Secretary Xi Jinping's plan for what he calls the new era, which basically means the system of governance that he's introducing since he came to power in 2012-2013. Basically, the way he seems to approach technology is as follows. As you are probably aware, Xi Jinping talks about his era as this new era, which is basically the third era of the evolution of the Communist Party or the Communist regime in China. The first one would have been the Mao Zedong's era, the second one Deng Xiaoping and his immediate successors, and the third one would be his own. And one of the crucial differences among these eras is the employment of technology. Essentially what Xi Jinping and his colleagues are saying is that Mao Zedong started out on the right course, implementing a strict orthodox communist regime in China, but he didn't have the right technology to actually fulfill the mission, so to speak. The social control under Mao Zedong, and in particular the central planning of economy, could not have been efficient because the tools were just not there. So that's how the second era, Deng Xiaoping's era, came around. They had to relax a little bit some of the requirements on the orthodox understanding of communism in order to save the country from economic collapse, economic and political, we might say. So the third era, Xi Jinping's era, the new era, as he calls it, essentially consists of going back to what Xi Jinping calls the original mission or the original intent, Chusin, which is basically the original orthodox communist understanding of the Mao Zedong era, but at a qualitatively new level that is facilitated by the economic base that is much higher now in China, as everybody knows, but also by the availability of relevant technologies that make possible the tasks that were not possible in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, namely the use of big data and artificial intelligence for central control of the economy, and also for centralized control of the population. So from this very rough outline of the contemporary thinking in the People's Republic of China, we see that technology occupies a rather peculiar position in Chinese policies. And I think that is something that we really should not only be worried about, but we should definitely factor in when we discuss the adaptation of Chinese technologies in Europe. I will end right here because we have more detailed presentations coming up. Thanks for your attention.